gravitas and something else called executive presence, they couple together are what is that it factor for promotion. And so it became my journey to kind of really understand, well, what is it? How can other people like myself develop it?
Why did I become an executive coach? I saw lots of great people fail to get ahead at work, while their much less talented peers blew right past them. That made me furious, but also curious. What were great people getting wrong? It came down to helping them re-examine what drove success and then helping them make critical shifts, one hard truth at a time.
Feel like you're doing everything you were told, but you're not moving ahead at work nor having the impact you seek? Then welcome to 97% Effective with Michael Winderoth, where we skip feel-good, happy talk and engage experts in pointed conversations about what it really takes to move the needle at work and your career. So if you feel stalled or frustrated or seek that extra edge as you move to the next level, then look no further. This is the Hard Truths Playbook you never got.
Hi, I'm Michael Winderoth, and you're listening to 97% Effective. Gravitas. You've probably heard it used to describe a senior leader or someone powerful and motivating. Or you've felt the power of gravitas, been influenced by it, but not used that word to describe it. So gravitas, what the heck does it mean? Why does it matter? And importantly, can you develop it? And if so, how? That's our topic for today. Because the hard truth, which decades of research that I break down in my book, Get Promoted, shows, those who are seen as confident, composed or in control or in command, which is driven heavily by your gravitas and presence, those people get a boost in their leadership ratings, their career advancement, and in their ability to influence or sway others. So I'm extremely excited today to talk about gravitas with Beena Kavalam, executive coach and leadership consultant. Beena specializes in helping high-performing leaders grow their gravitas, strengthen their executive presence, and lead with influence. So no one more fitting to speak on this topic. Beena is the founder of Gravitas 360 Consulting and has coached hundreds of leaders at Fortune 500 companies, startups, and mission-driven organizations. Her work helps leaders become visible, credible, and impactful without compromising who they are. And she's got a unique Indian Jersey girl roots and style of communication. Stay tuned for what that means, especially those internationally outside the States. She holds an MBA from NYU's Stern School of Business, BA in biology from Rutgers University, and the PCC coaching certification from the International Coaching Federation, the ICF. Beena, I have been so looking forward to our conversation about your work on gravitas. Welcome to 97% Effective.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So, Beena, you have a very interesting and compelling backstory on why you focus on gravitas and why you moved into executive coaching. Can you share that? Because, you know, when we first met, it really resonated with me, and I'd love the audience to know more about that.
Absolutely. Well, my journey to my leadership journey to gravitas really started when I was up for my first promotion, my first major promotion. And, you know, I thought I had it in the bag. I believed, you know, that old myth, right? If you do good work, that work will be recognized and rewarded. And that is not true. You know, I remember, you know, going into that meeting with the partner and, you know, I hit all my metrics. My team loved me. I thought I had it in the bag. And then I go in to talk with this partner and the partner's like, Beena, we just don't see you at the executive level. At least that's how his voice sounds in my head. But the real thing is that his comment, we just don't see you at the executive level, that really stuck in my head because, you know, he tried giving me some feedback, but it wasn't really actionable. There was no real crux. He couldn't give me meaningful things I could do, take action on, strategies, none of that. And I wanted to think back, so he couldn't tell me what I needed to fix. So that led me on this journey of, well, what do I need to do to correct this so I can ultimately get the promotion, become the leader I want to be? And years later, you know, I started on this leadership journey, but then years later, I had a moment where I met with another executive woman. And we were harkening back, we're having lunch, and we're talking back our first promotions, or rather lack of our first promotions. We both got denied. And she's a woman of color as well. And she was talking about how her feedback was, you lack gravitas. And I didn't know what the word meant, I'll be honest. I had to go home and I looked it up and it said dignity, solemnity of manner. What does that mean? Right? And so I had to really think about, well, what does that mean for me today? The definition also shared that it's usually associated with a senior, very senior, older white men. And I'm none of those things, right? And so how can I have gravitas, or can I? Especially if it's such an important factor for promotion. And it, you know, and as I did further research, gravitas and something else called executive presence, they couple together are what is that it factor for promotion. And so it became my journey to kind of really understand, well, what is it? How can other people like myself develop it? And so that's really where it all started. And how I fell into executive coaching really came years later after a major accident. I realized that I wanted to do more with my life. I wanted to leave a legacy. And, you know, it started off as something where I was doing work, you know, I was selling coffee creamer to people, right? As a brand manager. And it wasn't the meaning that I was looking for in my life. Especially after an accident where you're dealing with life and death, you realize what's my legacy going to be? How am I going to, you know, what's my meaning to my life? And when I was lying in the hospital bed, you know, recovering from a head injury, this voice came inside of me. It said, change a million lives. And it, you know, and there I'm lying with this big thing on my head, right? And I'm crying my eyes out. And that was this like shed of like, glimmer of light, and it helped me get out of the hospital bed. It helped me, you know, figure out, I didn't know how I was going to do it, found coaching a few months later, and the rest is history. And that's my mission, is to change a million lives, help make this impact and help change the demographics of the C-suite. So that's my mission in a nutshell, and how I started.
Yeah. Must have been rough, the being in that hospital. And I mean, it absolutely sounds like you are on your way, because I know you do a lot of work there at NYU, you do it at Chief and in your private coaching practice. So, thanks for sharing that story. And another thing that you've shared, and I want to call out here, as we dive in and parachute into what is gravitas and can it be developed and how, is that you've created an assessment, a self-assessment. Yes. I will put the links down in the show notes. And, you know, those who listen to the podcast, I will say it again, this is a hard truth. There are no silver bullets, right? So this 40-minute episode here, your gravitas is not going to suddenly transform in our time here. Like anything else, you need to understand what it is. You need to deliberately practice with feedback loops. But again, our goal here is to help you, you know, through this conversation with Bina, understand what it is, because it is very misunderstood and no one gives feedback exactly to Bina's point. And then where you can start with some practical first steps. So that self-assessment, I'd encourage you, if you're listening or watching the podcast, stop, go do it so you can grade. And then as we go through, get that start to growing your gravitas. So thank you for sharing that, Bina. Take a look at that, and let's start with a definition, because we've talked about, people have mentioned it, but, you know, what is gravitas and why is it important? How should people be thinking about it?
Well, it's very important. What is gravitas? Gravitas is that that weight. It's that substance. It's that emotional steadiness that you bring in high, you know, high stakes situations. And as a leader, it is critical, right? We want people who can be that calm under pressure, who's not going to freak out, right? When something happens, we need somebody who's steady. And that's what gravitas brings. I like to think about it in four ways, right? So you have to have four C's, really. First, you have to have competence. You need to know your subject matter expertise, right? Really zoning in and being an expert in that area. Own it. But once you've got that competence, you have to feel confident that you, in your abilities to do the work, right? You have to feel confident that you can do this and you can, impact others with it. So once you've got your competence and your confidence, then it's composure under pressure. This is the emotional steadiness. So imagine, you know, if you're under a high-stakes situation, maybe it's a very difficult negotiation. You want the person that's got, I hate to say, like ice in their veins. They're the ones that are calm under pressure. You can't bust them. You can't mess with them, right? That's the person. That's that calm under pressure we want to have. And then finally, it's clarity of communication. Super important. We sometimes, when we get nervous, we start to ramble. I know I do. It happens. But having the ability to tone it back down, be concise, and get to the point is very, very critical. And so those are the four elements I consider of gravitas. But I would say there's an important secondary component. So it's a slightly with it. I'm gonna go there if it's okay.
Yeah.
So you've got gravitas, but without executive presence, you're missing something. All right. So gravitas, think of it as the core of your authority. Okay. It's internal. It's how you present yourself. How you deliver on that presentation, right? How do you deliver on that authority is executive presence. It's your outward motion. It's your vocal tone. It's your body language, your posture. How are you connecting with individuals? It is how you listen in organizations. Listening is a higher order leadership skill, and it's vital. So there are these elements that you can have one without the other, but you're always missing something, right? If you have gravitas, but you don't have executive presence, you're going to have all the substance, but no one's going to know about it. Okay. It's going to be unnoticed. You'll be the untapped wonder in the meetings that nobody knows about. If you have all that executive presence, but you don't have gravitas, you're going to have all the polish, but no substance. So all fluff. Right? So you need both. And that's why both are so critical.
Very useful. And I hadn't heard it so much, and you really kind of bucket that gravitas is more internal and the external side is executive presence. I'm envisioning, because I know you were a consultant also, Bina, the 2x2 matrix, right? But that 2x2 matrix kind of built on that foundation of, again, we are not saying here that you don't know your stuff, right? That you're solid. And this is that accelerating factor that makes sure your message that you gets through perceived and felt by the other side. And who would be, just so we now have that definition, but like, you know, are there particular individuals that you would hold up? I mean, obviously there are going to be a diversity of individuals and it could express in different ways, but ones that you might call out that you say, these are gravitas or this is gravitas and presence.
Well, I mean, probably the most clear example is Barack Obama, right? Mm. Barack Obama, if you remember, no drama Obama, right? He was always cool under pressure and still is very cool under pressure. And he always was composed. You couldn't ruffle him. That's gravitas in a nutshell. Mm. The other person who really comes to mind more from a business perspective and also a personal hero, Indra Nooyi, right? She's the former CEO of PepsiCo, amazing, Indian American woman who is, personal hero. But her style was, she was extremely competent, highly, highly, highly competent, knows her stuff inside and out. And she brought that warmth and empathy to her. So when you talk about Indian Jersey Girl, which we're going to talk about in a minute, that's She's from Jersey. I don't think she's from Jersey, but we're going to call her from Jersey, okay?
Right.
Because that's it in a nutshell. The way she communicates and that warmth style that she brings, that's Indian Jersey girl in a nutshell.
Yeah. And I know you called out in a previous conversation also Angela Merkel, which is also a very different individual, right? You think kind of a German, kind of calm and stoic. But there too is that, what again, you're saying here, the kind of calm and composed ability to deliver, but it maybe comes out slightly differently with certain individuals.
But you can have that style. That's the beauty of this, is that you don't have to, it's not a one size fits all, right? You can have different styles that you bring to your gravitas, but you have this calmness, this composure that's there. Mm. You're able to listen to other people. You ever have one of those meetings where somebody's just rambling off, blah, 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 and then you have that one person who just listens, calmly says, and then we take action and brings us back to the topic. That person is the one that has the gravitas. It's the person who can bring us all together, calm and collected, and put us back on track. And so when you mention about, like, these are examples, right, of senior leaders, everybody can have gravitas. You know, even if you're not the lead of the meeting, you can have bring your gravitas as a leader in every sense. Be the person in a meeting to bring us back to the topic of conversation. One technique I like to use is when I'm in those meetings and I'm hearing I let everybody else talk and then I listen in, I build off certain comments, but I zone in on my one or two comments that I want to communicate and I let it sit. I just let it sit from there. And then, you know, it's a great way of letting everyone else talk, building on them, but then bringing in your comments. You don't have to be the loudest person in the room. In fact, if it's not your style, don't try to fake it. Don't try to become the loudest person in the room. In fact, make this work for you and your style.
As you've explained this, and you work with a lot of different individuals around this, is there a big myth or a hard truth that you want to call out here at the beginning? I mean, first, there's everyone's got different definitions. You've centered us on what it is. But is there a myth about gravitas or how you develop that you'd call out and get people to think deeply about?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two, right? One was I've already mentioned about how, you know, my perception of gravitas and the way it was communicated to me early on in my career, or when I first found out about it, was that it was associated with older white men. And that is not true. Anyone can have gravitas. It's all about how you bring that into your leadership repertoire, right? Because it comes down to executive presence and emotional steadiness and that confidence that you bring. And if you're able to dial that up, then absolutely you bring that to the table. So somebody who's young, petite woman, absolutely, you can absolutely have the gravitas and bring that to the table. And I've seen it. I've seen it in meetings where you have that one very, you know, I was recently in a meeting where I had one very petite, very quiet, you know, woman from of Asian descent. She was very quiet on the more timid side, but when she spoke volumes. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean, she didn't say much, but it was powerful and it landed. And that is gravitas in a nutshell. You don't have to say a lot to have such a powerful impact. So that's one myth, I would say. But probably another one is that, and this is something that I also had a perception on, is, well, when you have gravitas, do you have to be serious all the time? Hmm. Is it always, you know, are you always on this, you know, I've got to be grum and I can't have any expression? No, absolutely not. We want you to be authentic and we want you to bring yourself in. But the idea is that you think about it as a gradient.
Okay.
Right? And that's how I like to think of it, the gravitas mm-hmm. gradient, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're able to dial it up in those really tense, high pressure moments. You're able to dial up your gravitas so you bring it in and you have that emotional steadiness for your team and as a leader. When there's other times where you need to be lighthearted and, you know, jovial, yes, absolutely. Bring that in those aspects of your personality in as well. So think of it as a dial that you can turn up and turn down. And I'd encourage everyone to think of it that way.
You've been listening to 97% Effective with your host, Executive Coach Michael Winderoth. If this interview is making you think, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, back to our interview.
Yeah, that's a very useful metaphor there, the dial and kind of being situationally aware of what the context is. So let's take it down to the level when you're working with a client. People can go assess themselves. I guess you've got that assessment tool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are some of the, obviously we won't go through the entire process, but what are some of the key elements? Because, and your definition earlier with the internal, it sounds like you're doing actually probably a lot of psychological work in terms of how to get people in the mindset to raise that confidence. What are some of the key elements or tangible strategies that you work with people around?
I think one of the most important ones I've used, and are you familiar with positive intelligence?
A little bit. You might want to explain that to the audience, though.
So positive intelligence is this concept. It's based off of a book called Positive Intelligence by Shazad Sherman. And he's a professor out of Stanford. And the concept is that we have our thoughts, our negative thoughts, are associated with certain parts of our brain. Okay, and positive thoughts are associated with other parts of our brain. So by engaging those parts of our brain, we can engage either, we can turn up our positive thoughts or we can turn down our negative thoughts. So he has a whole school of thought on this. And, I encourage everyone to go read the book and take the class. It's amazing. But I incorporate that type of training with my clients. Mm-hmm. And one part of that is when to turn up the positive areas of your brain, right? Those neural pathways that are associated with positive thought, is you need to engage your senses. Hmm. So think about, smelling a candle. What I like to use when I'm in meetings and I'm stressed out a little bit, I like to just go like this. That's just really rub my fingertips together. So I feel the tension of my fingertips and the ridges on the fingertips, and just paying attention to that will help me start to engage those positive centers of my brain. Hmm. And so it's really thinking about what can I do to help me engage that over time? Because what happens is when we have our saboteurs, and if you've ever had that, I call her my inner mean girl, the one that, those negative naysayers that we say, oh, you can't do that. What are you wearing? Think of things like that, right? Those negative self-talk that we have. Mine is my inner mean girl, right? And, how do I shush my inner mean girl? I do this, right? You're building more, lessening the negative self-talk and increasing the positive one. Hmm. So doing some positive intelligence can also help some of those methods. Another technique, and this is something that everybody can do, is positive affirmations. Just say to yourself, right? Positive thoughts, positive thinking. Start thinking of yourself as a leader who has gravitas. Mm. Start picturing yourself and visualizing yourself as that leader. And it doesn't have to be at the front of the room. You can be a leader on the side of the table where you're standing and just own the room as you walk in from your presence, right? From the way you communicate. That's what I want people to know, is that you do not need to be that loud, boisterous person in the front of the room. You can be someone who draws the attention to you based off how you react and what you say.
Very incredibly useful. And I'll put a link to positive intelligence. I know that you work with that. And so that's a good explanation of it. The positive affirmations, I would add one element here, because I had prior to on the show was Don Moore. He's a professor over at Berkeley. And his focus is on confidence. He made a slight caveat with kind of the visualizations and the affirmations. Mm-hmm. His research shows that they don't help as much unless you pair that with the actual kind of work. Like the positive affirmation then also gets you in the flow of saying, hey, I'm going to work on my gravitas, and you put in some of the effort with there. Yes. And so that was a very good conversation with him as well. Backs that up, saying to match it with putting in some of the work, right? If it gets you to do more work and get you in the thought frames.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. Yeah, because what you're saying there is, you can't just think about something, right? Say, okay, I'm going to really think about this. I'm going to build my confidence, and then not take any of the steps that you need to do to build that. That I completely agree with that. You know, there's other steps you can do. I think building your confidence is like a foundational element. Mm-hmm. But if you don't build on that foundation, you're not going to go far, right? Yeah. So you have to take that confidence and then start to think about how can I regulate my emotions when I'm stressed? Mm-hmm. When you're in those moments, remember, gravitas, one key component of it is emotional steadiness. So when you're stressed, how can you turn the dial down or turn the dial up on those emotions, right? One easy way is to take a breath. I use the 4-7-8 technique. You inhale over 4, hold for 7, exhale over 8. You can do this in any meeting when you're stressed. You have to breathe in meetings, okay? It's true. You gotta breathe, right? So just inhale over 4, hold it for 7, exhale over 8, do it 3 times. And that is going to calm your body down a bit so that you can have those emotions aren't, you know, off the cuff.
Right.
Really just being able to calm yourself is going to be an important factor. So just doing something as simple as 4-7-8 can help you to calm yourself, have that emotional steadiness, especially when, you know, somebody said an offhand comment that irks you or you're in a heated debate. There's been so many times we're in these heated debates and we're just talking past each other, right? You ever have those meetings where people are just mad and da-da-da, and then you've got half the people who are totally disengaged and people are going back and forth. And all we need to do is just take a moment, calm the center down, then say, what are we trying to really accomplish here? And I think I think what's happening, especially nowadays, we're losing a lot of that reserve. We're going right to hothead.
Right. Right.
That emotional steadiness is kind of, we're just all on edge. And so those who have gravitas are going to be the ones that are able to regulate those emotions more readily. So I would encourage people to practice that skill of regulating your emotions.
And does the regulation here, you know, chaos going around you, calm it down, you're triggered by something. Does that also apply if you're kind of in the middle of the thought and you need to recollect? It's almost like putting in, I know you've talked about the power of the pause.
Yes. And
clearly, you know, anyone can hold the room and pause and no one will interject. They've got gravitas. They're holding court there. Same thing, or is that slightly different idea? I know it's one of the techniques you recommend.
Yeah. Power of the pause is important because it allows everyone to pause and just focus for a second. Mm. How many times are we in a meeting and everybody's talking across each other, blah, 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 blah. No one's really listening. So one of the power of the pause is that it brings the attention to a comment that you're bringing up. It allows people to process what you're saying. So that's one aspect of the pause, is if you simply pause what you're about to say, you know, like 1 second, just 1 second. You're going to think it's longer than it is. Okay. But just 1 second, and then proceed to say your comment, right? The key thing is your comment can't be a long diatribe, right? It has to be to the point. And that brings up another comment, right? Another strategy, which is you've got a bottom line, right? Bottom lining is really talk in a short amount of words, right? What is your core takeaway? What is your hypothesis? Just tell me. And what does that mean? What are some 2 or 3 supporting statements that go along with that? So what I tell my clients is that when you're about to speak, you're in this meeting and everybody's going around, write down on a piece of paper, just a brief, short, couple word outline. What's your core topic that you want to talk on? And then 1 or 2, 3 points beneath it, 2 to 3 points, no more than 3. And you're not writing out sentences. You're just literally writing out a couple words and 1 or 2 words to just trigger it in your head. And the way you deliver it is, here's my thought statement. And there are three reasons why this is important. 1, 2, 3. You're using your body language to communicate that as well. Mm. So it's the couple, right? The pause is important to bring the attention to you, calm the room down so they can focus on what you're about to say. And then what you have to say should matter. That's the competence piece.
Yeah, so I usually ask, right? Like, let's have one practical quick takeaway that people could apply. You've just dropped three here.
Oh, no,
but it's right in line there, right? And if I could, you know, the pause, writing down in that outline form and being able to drop the one or two or three to make and bottom line that point. And that sounds like something people can practice. You're probably working on with them through various scenarios. Again, practice with a feedback loop to get better at that.
Practice. That is the most important part. You know, we don't get better just immediately off the cuff, right? Oh, yeah. Immediately. I wish it's going to happen and it's going to happen. You have to practice and be kind to yourself as you're in the practices, right? There's, as I mentioned earlier, my inner mean girl or whatever, or negative saboteur, however you want to say it, you know, it's going to say, oh, well, you didn't do that well enough. Well, what are you doing there? So you have to be kind to yourself as you're doing this practice so that you know that you'll keep going and doing it. And the thing is over time, what'll happen is that you'll start to build more positive neural pathways. Mm-hmm. So you're reinforcing positive self-talk to yourself. Like, I'm doing this. Wow, look at what I've done. Amazing. Great job, right? You're building yourself up. We're not taught this. This is something that I wish more students or children were taught, how to talk to ourselves and how to really, you know, believe in ourselves at a young age. I wasn't taught this. I don't know about you, but this was not something in my, you know,
in Asian households. Harder. No, it's not really. You're kind of like, why didn't you get the 3% more to get the 100% coming in?
100%. That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, 99. What's that 1 point? What are you talking about? Right.
Pretty much. We speak the same language there. And I notice it internationally, right? I think the States, in some ways, we are ahead in something, which is getting people to present and think about that. But I think what you're talking about there is how do we talk to ourselves and train ourselves, particularly in this age of social media nonstop. People aren't sitting and thinking about how to reflect and that point around emotional regulation. Bina, I also want to ask you because, you know, the part around preparing. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear a lot of people out there say, yes, I can develop this and I can work when I know I'm going to have the slot. I'm going to go up and present.
Yes.
Where a lot of people run into more challenges will be like the impromptu in the hallway, or you're talking and then, of course, someone comes in and cuts you and like throws a hard question at you. And you're there in front of the entire board or the executive team. If you don't bring some gravitas or presence, you're going to look like you have no idea what you're doing, seen as incompetent. Developing that muscle, the impromptu muscle, anything there that you work on or would say, hey, this is something that people should explore to start to develop that muscle?
Yes, absolutely. It's great when you have a prepped document, everything's perfect, all I's dotted, every T crossed. But when you're in the moment and you have to speak extemporaneously, that is a challenge for a lot of people, including myself. And so one of the things I would encourage people to do is practice. Practice for yourself. Just speak on a couple topics. Record yourself, especially if you're working in a virtual environment. Record how you come across on screen. You know, one of the things, I'm from Jersey. All right. So I talk with my hands. Okay. And so you'll notice that I do that. Right. But I have to tone that down a bit, and I have to hold that down a little bit because it can be distracting when somebody's doing that. So that's something I learned by practicing, by practicing in front of a camera. The other thing specifically about it, speaking on the fly, right, is you're gonna laugh. I took an improv class.
Oh,
and it
was
fun. Yeah. Improv is such an amazing class. I took it with my NYU alums. Big shout out to them because it was such an amazing class. I was a little afraid going into this because there's no net. You are just out there and there's no prep. You don't even know what the topic is. And I remember I was in one of the skits. I was improvising as a chain smoking New York City cab driver. All right. And I was like coughing up a lung, you know, I was like talking this way. And then in my cab comes Genghis Khan, right? So I'm going to have to speak in Mongol to this, you know, as a chain smoking, you know, when would I have ever thought about that? How could I have prepared for that? Good enough, right? But it's the organic nature of the environment. So it keeps you on your toes. And so what are the skills that improv builds? Adaptability. You have to adapt immediately to the environment. That's what you need when you speak extemporaneously, right? But it also builds the skill of listening.
Yep.
You know, I was honestly exhausted. I felt like I worked out after this class, right? Because you're so in the zone. You're on the edge, listening in. You're looking at their body language and you're interpreting it. You're listening to vocal tone. What can I capture from this? You're listening to the words that people are saying as well. So it's capturing all of that and then coming up with how you're going to respond to that in the moment organically. So that type of skill set is another way that you can build by just taking a class. And I'd encourage you to practice that. And it's fun.
It's a lot of fun. A couple of weeks ago, had Kevin Weinstein on, and he was talking about that. We did some improv on the show. A lot of people were saying, why is this on a show about influence, power, and presence? But exactly to your point. And so, boy, don't we need a little more kind of fun? And Kevin commented exactly. His listening shot up because he was in the moment, not formulating what he was going to talk about. You touched there too. I don't want to lose the thread about kind of virtual environments. Obviously, we're now hybrid, virtual, and there is a part, right, when you're in person. Anything you would call out about constructing gravitas or how it's different? Maybe just one thing about how it's different in a virtual environment, if at all.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways that you can build your showcase your gravitas virtually. One way, look at the camera. I think it's so important for connection to look people in the eye and make sure you're paying attention to them. That's important. But also watch your body language on the camera. You know, you don't know how many times I've been on a call and I see somebody like this, sitting back. This is closed body language. This means you're disinterested and you're not paying attention, right? So make sure you're having that open body language where your palms are out and up, your shoulders are back, and you're listening, right? And so think about that as, you know, make sure your camera's on, right? Sometimes we have people put the camera off and then there's no connection, right? What is it? 58% of human communication is by visual, right? That's how we get the message of what you're communicating. And so if we're just turning off almost 60% of the way we communicate, right? The way the message gets across. So being on camera can be extremely important for that. And I would say when you're going to make an important point. So for example, you're something critically, lean in, lean in. Get a little closer to the camera, plant your feet and get in a little closer. I think this can make a big deal and important, and it can be an important way to showcase that you're paying attention. The same thing is mirroring in the real world when you're in a meeting in person. You want to lean in a little bit to showcase that you're paying attention. You're not leaning back.
And I want to call out, so those of you who are listening on audio should go over and watch the video version of this. And this little segment here, right? I know you and I are both self-conscious. We have both worked on our own presence and gravitas. But just that little clip there with Bina illustrating it, her leaning back, her leaning in, her feeling the, you know, the physicality of the and the delivery, all visual examples of how you convey that gravitas. So yeah, you've just delivered it there, you know. An image is worth a thousand words.
Absolutely. And so that's an important part. When you're on your doing it in a virtual environment, make sure you're communicating very similar to how you would in person. One other thing I will say, especially if you are delivering a difficult message or a very, like maybe you're doing a presentation and you're leading the presentation, stand up. Move your camera up and stand while you're doing, especially if you're doing an interview. The reason is your sound is better. Your tone of voice sounds better. You project better when you're standing. You're also more confident, right? Because you can use your full body force. And that would be important when you're when you're on camera, you still want to show the body language of somebody who's paying attention and listening. So one of the key things I like to do is you want to make sure you're ventral fronting, right? Ventral fronting is using your ventral, remember from biology class in high school? Okay?
I don't remember from biology class, but you're a major from Rutgers. So tell us ventral fronting.
Exactly.
Break it down for us, Jersey girl. I will.
All right. So back in the day, right, where you had to remember from biology class, there's a ventral side and then there's a dorsal side, which is your back, right? Okay. So ventral fronting is when you're putting your entire ventral side and you're focusing on the person in front of you. Right. And so that's where you want to completely face that person. You're completely in it. If you move your body, say you're the person's here and you're kind of your body's this way and then you're focusing this, I'm twisted right now. And it feels inauthentic. That's a body language cue. Right. So you don't want to have this. It breeds inauthenticity. Yeah. Right. So it showcases inauthenticity. So make sure when you are presenting, when you're on camera, you want to make sure your feet are planted, your feet are parallel, are literally straight at the person that you're talking to or the person that you want to influence. It doesn't always have to be the person who's speaking, okay? So if there's somebody who you really want to influence, it could be the leader in the room, right? Maybe the person in front of the table, or it could be someone else in the room who you want to influence and you're looking at that person and that person's talking, you move your entire body to face that person. And listen to them. That subtle move is going to show that you're paying attention and you care about what they have to say.
Yeah. Multiple very useful tips that most people are not thinking about, right? This is the part, right? You're doing your work, you know, it should show for itself. And you're not thinking about that because you either haven't been exposed to it or you're exposed much later when things have already been ingrained, right? And so go back and listen to that segment because there have been a lot of useful sections there. And I remind everyone, too, who's listening, there is the self-assessment down in the show notes. Click on it. And I would add a twist to it. I know Bina continues to develop that tool. Mm-hmm. That is a self-assessment. Take that self-assessment, give it to two or three other people, right? You know, someone, you know, a sponsor, a mentor, or someone who will evaluate you against those metrics and compare them, right? Because there is the part about how you think about things, but also the perception of others is critical. So where are some of those gaps that you may not be aware of? Again, the 360 tool.
Michael, that's an important part. I just want to call that out to everybody. Yeah. It's important to get your perception checked. Okay. And I say that was like a commentary there because you don't know how you're coming across. Okay. So it's important to, you know, get in a person you trust to give you that perspective. There's also a tool that you can use if you want more of a formal assessment. It's called the Hogan assessment, which will help you inform how other people perceive you. But in lieu of that, simply have a conversation or a coffee chat with someone who can give you that, hey, here's what I really see. Here's how you are being communicated about or talked about within the organization. Right? When we think about the PIE model, when we think about promotion or career readiness, right? Performance is 10%. Image is about 30%, but exposure, how are you being perceived in the rest of the organization? 60%. And when you think back to my conversation about the promotion piece, that was my downfall. I had not done the work of exposure. Yeah. And so, so learn from my mistakes and go from there.
Exactly. And Bina, I want to ask you too, because you do a lot of work with Chief, right? Which is the group that works with executive women. You have women, obviously, in your private practice and MBAs that you work with. This could be a whole podcast, but is there any differences that you notice, you know, with how women think about gravitas, things they might have to do slightly differently because of this exact point you were talking about, perception on the other side, stereotypes, right? You know, an angry woman is called something else, not a leader, right? And so not that gravitas is saying to be angry or direct, but there are certain stereotypes, right, that may be in play. Anything that you notice working with women that is different that you would raise and share with people?
Absolutely. Yeah. there is a difference in, so the elements of gravitas remain the same, right? You want to have your competence, your confidence, your composure under pressure, your that emotional steadiness, and that clarity in communication. Absolutely. But the way it's interpreted for women, the way it's being perceived, can be different for men, for women, and also for people of color. So I'm putting that out for there as well, because I also work with diverse groups. Confidence is perceived differently in men and women specifically. So think about, you know, if you're assertive, right? If you're out there and you're speaking confidently, it can be assertive, but it can also be perceived as abrasive for women, right? Or aggressive. You know, I've heard bossy, you know, in other terms. And so we want to make sure that we are able to not downplay, don't shrink. And I've seen a lot of women do this where we shrink, we get down, it's okay, I'll do this, you know, I'll speak a little softer, get a little smaller, right? That's not what we're trying to do here. I don't want us women to shrink. And I don't want you to think you have to say, I'm sorry. And that's something that I do all the time too. So it's something we're all working on. Instead, communicate in a direct manner, but add empathy. So I mentioned Indra Nooyi. She does this in spades. She's very direct. She's very pointed, correct. You know, she'll cut to the point, but she always does it with this warmth factor. It's warmth, but it's more empathy. You know, she's got this, she's kind-hearted as well. And that's this what I call the Indian Jersey girl factor. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
let's dig into this.
So this
Tell
is
us
my...
what that is.
So, you know. As I was developing this concept, was I was thinking about how do I grow my gravitas and make it authentic to me. I was living in Denver at the time as I was developing this. And when I first moved to Denver, my first performance review said, Bina walks too fast and she talks too fast. And I was like, man, oh gosh, I'm going to have to change who I am here. And it's not about changing who I am. It's softening it. It's turning the dial down a little bit. Maybe I do need to walk a little slower. Maybe I do need to relax a little bit, slow the pace. I'm not going to change who I am. I'm not going to be, you know, change being Indian. There's no way I'm going to do that. Or change being a Jersey girl? I don't think so. Right? So how do I incorporate these elements in? And so over time, I developed this, my persona, right? This the way I communicate. What do I want to feel authentically me? What am I? I'm an Indian Jersey girl, right? And so what does Jersey girl mean to me? It means being direct, means communicating with kindness, but clarity. Get to the point, right? In Jersey, you got to do that, okay? And so, but it's always coming from a place of heart. It's never malicious. It's there to be, you know, I'm here to build you up. I don't want to give you all this fluff so you don't understand what the concept is. I want to cut to the core of it so you can make the changes that you want to make. And that's really the crux of Indian Jersey Girl. It's this mix of, you know, let's be clear in communication, and also let's be the warmth of, you know, I like to think of it, you know, a nice cup of chai, right? It's that's what this is, okay? Yeah. You know, it's this mix of both. And so that's really Indian Jersey Girl in a nutshell, and that's who I am.
That's very memorable. Okay, Indian Jersey Girl, hey. The cup of chai. So Bina, absolutely fantastic discussion today. Show notes have links. Where should people go to see you, work with you, read about what you do and your work?
Yeah. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm doing a lot of work right now on LinkedIn. I post 2 to 3 times a week. I also do lives, LinkedIn lives, once or twice a month, but I'm trying to do more. And I've been connecting with so many people. Please connect with me on LinkedIn. If you hit follow, I will send you a note and connect with you directly. But I would love to just connect and support other people who are looking to do this work and grow and learn.
Well, absolute pleasure. Bina Kavalam, executive coach, leadership consultant, founder of Gravitas 360 Consulting. Grade and use the self-assessment. Grade and grow your gravitas. Bina, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to 97% Effective, where we skip happy talk and help you break through and ascend one hard truth at a time. Help others discover this show. leave a review and rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what you heard, you can get free resources, including the first chapters of Michael's book, Get Promoted, on his website, www.changwinderoth.com. That's www.changwenderoth.com.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.